from the cellist's latest recordings, music of François Couperin, which you recorded at the very beginning of your recording career. You were telling me?
Yes, I did. I studied it when I was a young teenager with Lev Aronson, my cello teacher, and in Dallas, Texas. And I was always very attracted to this arrangement. It can be done with piano, of course. And my Aspen debut in 57, 58 was what I played. And my parents said, my goodness, I think he's going to be a cellist from that concert. But to be able to record it with strings, I did with Pinko Zuckerman over 30 years ago. And to play it with this Angeli ensemble that my wife, Helen Nightingale, put together, musicians from the studios. They're just such superb musicians and virtuosos. Yeah, it's just a fantastic opportunity to re-record some of these early Baroque and classical works with such a virtuosic group.
Yeah, yeah. I've always maintained that in terms of the greatest musicians on earth, Los Angeles is the town. Because
you're right, Jim. Absolutely. I've sight-read chamber music, so-called sight-read chamber music with colleagues of different orchestras around the world. LA Philharmonic players are marvelous. Berlin Philharmonic players are marvelous. But when I've sat down with some of my wife's colleagues in the studios, wow. They play, they listen, and they know the style to such a degree that it just blows your mind.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, it's really scary. It blows my mind listening to some of the most impossible sounding stuff in whatever movie you want to name.
Yeah.
Realizing these are people sight reading this stuff.
Yes.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah, they might get a two or three cracks at it, and particularly if they're working for someone like John Williams, stuff that is written so beautifully for all the instruments, they sight read, and then each take is just extraordinarily deepened each and every time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously I've been joined tonight by one of the world's great cellists. Lynn Harrell has stopped in this evening. We're going to be playing a couple of his new recordings, a couple of new albums tonight, and talking about whatever he feels like talking about. Lynn, welcome back to KUSC.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
And you survived Get a Demo On with no ill effects whatsoever.
No, not at all. I didn't get sore shoulders, sore fingers, or anything. And sometimes it was 6 hours every day for 3, 4, 5, 6 days in a row. And then the performances, there were a number of performances. And it was just sublime to play this magnificent music.
Which you did sort of on a dare. Your wife, Helen, said, you know, I don't think you can play 6 hours of opera. And you said...
Yes, her eyes went up and down, you know, that sort of thing. When was the last time you played 6 hours? I thought, maybe 30 years ago? Because once you get your technique in place, you know, it just takes an hour or two to get ready for a concert. Recital, a long recital, is not even 3 hours. But I guess I've always had a lot of stamina. So when a lot of my colleagues in the cello section and in that orchestra for those wonderful performances were flagging, I was just on an adrenaline rush. I had no problems.
Excellent. Well, let's hear something from that new recording, a cello concerto with which you've been pretty closely associated for years. They're not quite as closely associated as one might think. I mean, it's not something you do every other day of the week, in other words.
Yes, the Haydn concerto is, of course, a new piece. I remember when it was discovered. In fact, I used to proudly say when I was a teenager, I've given the first Ohio performance. I played it with Lewis Lane and the Cleveland Orchestra, my first and actually only time in my tenure as principal cellist in the 60s with the Cleveland Orchestra. And then, of course, I've been playing it ever since. And I think we've come through the authentic original instrument phase, and we've all benefited from the discoveries and the impetus of great musicians and theoreticians from that study. And we're coming out of it in such a way that it is just another way to approach music that is just intrinsically great. And the Haydn C major cello concerto is a masterpiece.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more about that whole period instrument thing. It's fine. And as long as it's just, you know, another wonderful alternative, fine. I think what raised my hackles and still does is
yes,
when
you know, Jim, in my early days in the Cleveland Orchestra, the approach to Beethoven and Brahms was so heavy and slow. Thank goodness. Now, there's no tradition of that at all. Now, all tempos are generally much faster, and this is a good thing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as it's, you know, one of several possible ways of doing it. When it doesn't become law and order, you have to do it this way.
Oh, yes, and there were those days. You remember them, sure.
Vividly.
That, if you didn't play in that sort of authentic style, you were just wrong.
You were wrong. You were in favor of the Vietnam War. You were, you know, just, oh, you would eat Wonder Bread. You know, you'd do all manner of unspeakable fact.
Yes. Jonathan Miller, the great stage director, wrote a book on performance, and he's talking about authentic Shakespearean performances in Victorian times. And he reproduces some of the photographs of postcards of the actors in England who are doing this. And they're standing around in a very stiff Victorian way. His point was that we cannot divorce ourselves from our own time. The trouble with the authentic and original instrument movement for me was that they were so adamant that they're doing exactly what the composer wanted. But they're doing it in a way that is from their perspective. We can't divorce ourselves from computers, hundredths of a second. Volume is one. We've heard 747 jets. So a fortissimo in a Beethoven symphony in Beethoven's day probably was a lot softer. But for the effect, which was the composer's intention, it had to be much more now. But it's all settled. It's all settling now. And the intrinsic qualities of the music come through gorgeously.
New album just released by the Cleveland-based Ozica Record Company. I suppose now's not the time to bring it up, since last weekend my Tigers swept your Indians, but
well, things happen.
But we can still be friends, right?
Yes, and still hopefully are. So, yes.
From that new album just published by Ozica Records, that was the Cello Concerto in C Major by Haydn in a performance by cellist Lynn Harrell and the Angeli Ensemble. Mm-hmm. Recorded at the Colburn School, not in Zipper Hall.
No, in the rehearsal space, which is absolutely quiet. It doesn't have any street noise at all. And we had a few sessions in there, and it was just a heavenly place to record.
And it's played the way I think this stuff should be played, like a big chamber work.
Yes. Well, what's so wonderful with these musicians that are in the Angeli Ensemble is that they know about listening, and they get the idea of the virtuosic aspects of the music and the lively, come-alive kind of aspect. I think the last movement of this Haydn is the best performance I've ever played myself or ever heard. Just, it bounces off the speakers.
Yeah, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Just wonderful.
As you just heard. My guest tonight is Lynn Harrell. We're playing a couple of new albums by one of the world's great cellists here on 91.5 Classical KUSC in Los Angeles, the member-supported broadcast service of the University of Southern California. For years, I was kind of a holdout about the Bach Sons, and to a certain extent, I still am. I remember what Igor Stravinsky used to say about Alexander Glazunov, who was also a pupil of his great teacher, and he wasn't very fond of Glazunov, so he called him Carl Philipp Emanuel Rimsky-Korsakov.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah. I think most people would agree that Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, in his own right, a really interesting and absolutely superb composer.
Yes, and this particular piece is remarkable. He wrote three cello concertos, which already at that period is very unusual. But this one uses, with the second movement, an indication mesto, which means sad, and has the first violins, the second violins, and the violas all playing the same notes. You have a string section playing like in a Mahler or Tchaikovsky symphony. And the alternation between forte and piano dynamics give this a romanticized kind of Weltschmerz of distraught quality feeling that is just extraordinary. The first movement and the last movement are virtuosic displays for the instrument. Nowadays, we put some of the lines up an octave so that they have greater brilliance. But the vitality of this piece is just extraordinary. There are six symphonies by Carl Friedrich Emanuel Bach. There's one in B minor of that six that stands out also in the most extraordinary way, a work of great genius. This cello concerto I've played as often as I've been able to in my career, and I've recorded it three times. It's a piece that I believe is so forward-looking and so spectacular, but needs great virtuosos from the orchestra, that I was delighted to incorporate it in these unknowns.
Dmitri Shostakovich wrote a couple of cello concertos, one of which is, you know, really knocking on the door of the standard repertoire, and seriously has for years.
Yes.
The other one is a little tougher sell, although I think, done right, the second cello concerto is a profoundly disturbing piece.
Yes, it's profound. It's one of those very late works of Shostakovich that bespeak a kind of angst and sadness that is just palpable. So it's a little bit like sitting through a Strindberg play or one of Ibsen's tragedies, but it has such quality to it and such immense spirit. The first cello concerto has such a phenomenal horn solo in all three movements. And of course, it is such a popular piece because of its dynamism and its power, and it has a whole movement dedicated to a cadenza. I've often said that it's the best writing for unaccompanied cello since Bach. And someone said to me, well, Bach, since Bach, who's written for the unaccompanied cello? It's been about only Kodály, which is a wonderful piece. But this Shostakovich movement in the first cello concerto is extraordinary, how it fulfills the obligations of connecting the rest of the pieces, the first, second, and fourth movements. But it speaks all aspects of what the cello can do in a more contemporary musical idiom.
Yeah.
The first movement is as dynamic and as powerful as about the same length as Beethoven's First Symphony. It just says over 300 times DSCH, and S in German, ES, is E flat. So that da dee 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 was Shostakovich's signature, as it were.
Yes.
And over 300 times he's saying to the Soviet bureaucrats, I am Shostakovich, Dmitri Shostakovich, artist and composer. It's almost horrific, the unbridled kind of fist-pounding energy this piece has. I really equate it to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, First Movement.
Yeah, yeah. And your partner in the recording, I think you're one of the great conductors today. I'm not saying that because he's a pal. A guy whose repertoire is just mind-boggling, what this guy has got in his head.
Yes, it is extraordinary. When I first started playing with George Schwartz many, many years ago in New York at the Mosley Mozart Festival, and then I played with him in and recorded in Liverpool and in Seattle, it just is extraordinary. I always have to go out in the audience and listen to what else he's doing, because it's so often pieces that I had no idea not only existed, but that were so marvelous. So he has had his fingers in the pies of so many different musical genres and styles. The only other person like that immediately comes to mind is Leonard Slatkin.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Just absolutely marvelous. Both American friends. Mm-hmm.
but you're still very, very busy. As a matter of fact, you show absolutely no sign of slowing up in any significant way.
I'm so pleased. That is so great, yeah.
But it's something you love doing, obviously.
Oh, yes, I do. I do. I love talking about my work. As my wife would say, I love being the center of attention. But music is the most remarkable aspect of what our life is. There is Sophocles' statements about how music can lift the spirit. And that was before any music that we really know and play nowadays. It can change your life. It can take the burden of what our existence is and uplift us and make us be aware of outside of ourselves and outside of our own society in a way that is so enriching. I am a much better person from my work with music my entire life than I could possibly ever have achieved. I've often said to my politically minded friends, if we'd get the world leaders to sit down and listen together to a marvelous Mozart, Beethoven, Bach work before they had the discussions on whatever, I think a lot more would be achieved.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it is just the most wonderful thing.
And don't you feel that when times are toughest, music means the most? I mean, during the Second World War, for instance, it was one of the most popular periods that classical music has ever enjoyed. I mean, it was played everywhere all the time.
Yes. Yes, at 9/11, the first things that were going on, organized around the city in New York, was music. I have on my website, lynnharrell.com, as part of my Heartbeats Foundation, a picture of a girl sitting with a cello playing in front of what was her music school in Haiti, sitting and playing the cello. Somehow this girl felt the need to go back to her happy school and take a cello out and just play all by herself. That's what music can be and is. And of course, a radio station such as this caters to that, to a huge audience. And what a great gift it is. What a great gift that we can listen and feel and reminisce and have our mind being active in things that it couldn't possibly touch without the music.
Oh, yeah.
How wonderful.
Well, why don't we conclude with another piece that doesn't get done every other day of the week, but of which you are extremely fond.
Yes, the Boccherini Grootsmacher. One has to say Grootsmacher, because certainly during the authentic classical period of the 70s and 80s and 90s, this piece was just not approached at all by anybody except young cellists. It sets the hands and the technique of playing the cello very beautifully. Grootsmacher was principal cellist of the Dresden Staatskapelle and was friends with the Schumanns, and he made this arrangement. And for his time, very lovingly, but for the authentic group, disastrously. He took a different movement for the second movement. He changed the harmony and the instrumentation of the first movement and the accompaniment figures in the last movement. But it's very lovingly done and very well done. And it's a very, very beautiful piece. So I think it should be able to come back into the repertoire.
Well, why not? Why not?
Yes, it has qualities of the classical period. It's what the Germans would say, zwischen. It's between classical and Baroque and romantic. But it's very beautifully done. The authentic people would say, well, you should play the original. But there is not an original concerto in B-flat, although it's published in the Eulenberg score. It's also completely drummed up from a sonata for bass continuo and cello by Boccherini. So there's no B-flat concerto with this material.
There you go. Yeah, the people who object to the Rimsky-Korsakov arrangement of Boris Godunov and who say you should only do the original, forget that without that arrangement, it wouldn't have become the worldwide success it eventually became.
That's right. Yes, there's a great deal of loving care But people who are locked in, as Jonathan Miller says, to their time. And we are in our own time, and we should try to recall that that's going to be the case, whether you like it or not.
There you go. Lynn Harrell, always a pleasure, and come back with the next batch.
Oh, it's always thank such you a so much. My next batch will be the complete Bach suites. I have not recorded them since 85. And I'm recording them in November, and there'll be a DVD of it as well. And I've got so many new ideas born from all the new research done on Bach and in my own artistic change and development.
We'll come back with that for sure.
Thank you.